Hi, this is William Ramsey. Welcome to William Ramsey Investigates. On today's show, I have an episode I'm going to title Transition to Kill. So it's a play on Program to Kill. Transitioned to Kill, Scarlet Blake, the Tavistock, and the WPATH files. And I think humanity is in a world of hurt for all this transitioning. And this is just one example, this Scarlet Blake. His real name, it's not a woman. It's a guy who still has his genitals acting like a woman. It's like Silence of the Lambs. That's Silence of the Lambs territory, right? And there's a huge kind of blood dust up in the UK over this. And you can see this is my first slide. It's J.K. Rowling, right? Harry Potter, so-called writer. He says, I'm so sick of this S. This is not a woman. These are not our crimes. She's right. This is not a woman. This is a guy. His name is Youngling Wang or something. They don't even put his real name. They put his trans name on it. And Sky News is reporting a woman. They can't even report it right. They should at least qualify it. The journalist should at least qualify it. Like, this is formerly a man who's now thinks he's a woman or something like that. But probably best to go back and look through my first episode about Scarlet Blake, right? I target this as a smiley face killing crime. It's the exact thing. And it gets worse. The more I've read about this, the worse it gets, right? But it is international. It is online. The reason he got caught is his paramour in Colorado told police that he did it. So nobody knew. And they 2 years, the family of this man, 30-year-old man, Jorge Carreño, thought maybe he tripped and fell in the water or committed suicide. It was all wrong. It was all an intentional crime. Premeditated. And you'll hear the judge talk in the sentencing. The sentencing happened just last Monday. Today is March 5th, so I think it was the 27th sentencing. So I'll read from the sentencing. And then, as I've been following this case, something just popped up. So the WPATH files, where they've investigated these transitioning. This guy, who goes by the name Scarlet Blake, was part of this huge problem in the UK at the Tavistock Hospital, where they're transitioning, which they've now shut down. They've realized, hey, we got a problem there. This isn't actually good. And Schellenberg is actually a real journalist, so we'll get to his stuff too. But those are the WPATH files. And it ties back into this. These guys, I swear this guy's dissociating. So he's in all kinds of weird mental states. Like, this is not somebody who stayed. And they go into these WPATH files. They're transitioning people who aren't able to consent and who are, like, some of them are literally schizophrenic. They know they're schizophrenic. Like, they're, so that's why I'm calling this Transition to Kill. This guy is the key. I know the police, they bungled in the police or in the UK, totally bungled the Stephen Port case. And I think they're going to bungle this, because if they were smart, they would find out this guy, Scarlet Blake's, all his social media. He was on social media under different names, who he's in contact with. This is the opening up of the entire smiley face killer phenomenon right here is with this guy. It's off the charts, and they're bungling it. The cops and the authorities are bungling it, as far as I can tell. So J.K. Rowling's involved. This is big news. They keep calling her a transphobe or whatever. And I don't feel phobic because I've studied this. I've had a detransitioner on my show who I think he's suing his people who transitioned him in the U.S. And, right, it's you can't go back, right? So these people are permanently transitioned, and a lot of times they're in, you know, not the greatest place. They're not getting good advice. And this guy wanted to kill his parents, Scarlet Blake. His parents regretted that he transitioned. His parents are smart. This guy comes from professional class. His parents are from a professional class. So J.K. Rowling's in the news. This is literally today. J.K. Rowling misgenders loose woman star Andy Willoughby in yet another Twitter spat. So they're supposedly a divisive figure. It seems like these journalists are pro not calling what these people are. They were former gender transition. That's what they should be called. They're not authentic women. You cannot just wave a wand and be a woman. I'm sorry. And this is Jorge Carreño, the guy he killed in 2021. And Scarlet Blake said, I want to kill dad, Oxford court told. So this is a dangerous person. And they probably aren't following up on who else he's possibly killed. He's probably a serial killer. my guess. He was in the U.S. in a gun incident. This is from Guy Harland. He was on site, I think the Oxford Times or Oxford Reader. But they don't know what he did. That's the other thing. He's not telling the judge and the court. They surmise that he strangled in this smiley face killing murder where he came up, hit somebody with the bottle, strangled him so he's dead, and threw him in the water to make it look like a fake crime. This is just on point. International elements, communicating on the web, fake names. I mean, it's all there. It's all the stuff that I deduced, or a lot of other people too, deduced about this smiley face phenomenon. And there's the poor guy who was murdered, Jorge Carreño. Kept calling him George, but I guess he's from Spain. So this is the Metro UK. J.K. Rowling has sadly opened her mouth again, this time attacking Sky News for describing killer Scarlett Blake, who is transgender, as a woman. So they keep, you know, for describe. Right, so they attacked him for calling. He's not a woman. It's a man. He still has his genitals. This is known. Guardian writer boycotts newspaper for airbrushing biological sex and report on transgender murder. So it's all over the news, or it's over the news in the UK. This story has not hit the US yet. And there's been other transgender people dying. This other guy, Tiffany Scott, looks like a dude to me. But and this guy's about history of violence, and we're going to get to that. This transgender thing may cause, and the stories are all kind of like what we see, like there's not a scientific study, but you can go on social media and just see these transgender people getting angry, threatening people, choking people, punching people. They're still men. They still have testosterone going in their veins, you know, running through their veins. They haven't fully transitioned. So applying the woman title to them is absolutely a lie. It's absolutely wrong. As a teen, convicted cat and human killer Scarlett Blake, 26, who was male, was referred to the Gender Identity Development Service, GIDS, at the Tavistock in London. He was given puberty blockers at 17 and cross-sex hormones. So he's on hormones. This, and we're going to get into this, this GIDS is just rife with problems and a lot of lawsuits and suicides and all kinds of stuff. And they shut it down. They are not, this is from an article by, I can't even read her name here. Let's see. Hadley Freeman. There's a book about this GIDS place too, the Tavistock Hospital. But I'm going to read just a little bit of this article. They are not only institutions with questions to answer. The NHS is another, because as a teenager, Blake was referred to the Gender Identity Development Service, GIDS, at the Tavistock in London. The NHS's only youth gender clinic, which has since been shut after numerous concerns about its methods. He was given, properly named, it's a man. He was given puberty blockers at 17 and hormone treatment the following year. He's now 26. So this would mean he was under the Tavistock's care in about 2015, 2016, a period when, as Hannah Barnes details in her 2023 book about the Tavistock, Time to Think, the clinic was prescribing blockers with a special enthusiasm, even though it was known they affect bone density and cognitive and sexual development. Former clinicians there told Barnes that during that period, they were seeing increasingly mentally unwell young people, such as ones who identified as a different ethnicity and different age, and perhaps a different species, just like this guy. This guy didn't think he was a human being. He was from hell or something. And there's another dissociation reference I have to mind. And perhaps these red flags about teenagers' mental health were brushed aside by the doctors in charge, who told the clinicians to give the kids blockers, putting them on the medical pathway to gender transition. For the past decade, gender ideologues have said that youth gender health care, i.e. giving confused children and teenagers puberty blockers, hormone treatment, and occasionally even surgery to help them transition, is essential. Quote, better a trans kid than a dead kid, unquote, they say, simply implying that a boy who says he's a girl must be given blockers which stop his physical development or he will kill himself. But last week, a study in Finland led by a former gender clinician, Dr. Ritter Takertu Kaltiales, was published and suggests this is simply not the case. Well, there's another study that came out. Here's the book. Hannah Barnes, The Inside Story of the Collapse of the Tavistock's Gender Service for Children, Time to Think. And then, so this was incredible. The timing is really something else because this guy just got convicted, and we're going to read through, I'm going to read through his sentencing right now. Let me see if I can get this to work. Here's the I'm going to pull up the judge, and he's going to, you're going to see.
Taken from his friends and family because you. Jorge was taken from his friends and family because you, Scarlett Blake, killed him. You did so by the River Charwell at Parson's pleasure at about 5:15 in the morning of the 25th of July, 2021. It is not possible to say exactly how. Most likely, you hit him on the back of his head from behind with a vodka bottle or something else you had brought with you in your backpack, then strangled him by applying pressure to the blood vessels just beneath his jawline, using your hands or a broad ligature, then put him in the river where he drowned. You may have held him down in the water while strangling him. Either way, you intended to kill him, and you did kill him. Your decision to kill Jorge was not a reaction to something he had said or done. It was not a momentary mistake. It was not a decision made in anger or because your emotions overcame you. It was the culmination of a plan you had been considering and formulating for months.
So that was the judge reading out the verdict. And you can see, if you're watching this on Rockfin or YouTube, this is the sentencing remarks of Justice Chamberlain, who just saw their reading. So I'm going to read this in its entirety. I think it's important. This is an incredible case. This is going in my books and documentaries. This guy, this is the Smiley Face Killers writ large. That's unbelievable. A lot of these people don't know that within the larger context of this murder. That's the other sad thing. It's like they're just not aware that this could be part of a greater phenomenon. Sentencing remarks of Justice Chamberlain, Oxford Crown Court, Monday, 26, February 2024. Scarlett Blake, may you sit down while I deliver my sentencing remarks. You've been convicted by the jury of the murder of Jorge Martin Carreño. I have to sentence you. The sentence is fixed by law. It is life imprisonment. My task is to determine the minimum term. This is the term you will serve in prison, come what may. Even after you have served that term, you will remain in prison unless and until the parole board decide that it is safe to release you. I base my sentence on facts of which I am sure, having heard the evidence in the trial and the victim personal statements read today with great dignity by Jorge's brother, Gerardo Martin Carreño, and his mother, Carmen Carreño. On July 25th, 2021, Jorge had just turned 30. He was one of three triplets who grew up together and were best friends. His brothers and parents describe him as someone who radiated kindness and humor and spread joy with his wit and contagious curiosity. He was always ready to help and lend a listening ear to others. His life was full of love for music, photography, climbing, and sports. He had studied electrical engineering and dreamt of making a difference in the world. He used his engineering skills in his work here in Oxford at the BMW plant in Coley. The victim personal statements speak to the profound effect his death has had on his family. They have suffered sleepless nights and days drowned in sorrow. They describe the deep wound that Jorge's loss has left in their hearts. The court also heard evidence during the trial from Jorge's ex-partner, Irene Hidalgo. She described him as the kindest person she had ever met. She spoke to him on 7th of July, 2021, his birthday, and said that he was positive and looking forward to the future. She remembered the bright of his eyes. Her grief at the death of the man she loved was palpable. Jorge was taken from his friends and family because of you, Scarlett Blake, killed him. You did so by the River Cherwell at Parson's pleasure at about 5:15 a.m. in the morning of July 25th, 2021. It is impossible to say exactly how. Most likely, you hit him on the back of his head from behind with a vodka bottle or something else you brought with you in your backpack, then strangled him by applying pressure to blood vessels just between the jawline. Right, this is just what we just saw. Your decision to kill Jorge was not a reaction to something that he had said or done. It was not a momentary mistake. It was not a decision made in anger because your emotions overcame you. It was the culmination of a plan you had been considering and formulating for months. The messages you sent before and after the July 25th, 2021, show an obsession with harm and death. You shared that interest with Ashlyn Bell, another trans woman whom you had met on the internet. You and she developed an online relationship. He actually visited the U.S. You told the court that you didn't want to kill a living creature, let alone a person. And it was Ashlyn who pressurized you to do so. You attributed your morbid interests to a split and dissociative personality. Very important. You attributed your morbid interest to a split or dissociative personality using the language of psychiatry or psychoanalysis. You adopted the persona of a cat. You talked about the difficulties you had since transitioning in childhood to live as a woman and about your troubled relationship with your parents. All this was part of an elaborate attempt to rationalize what you had done and shift responsibility to others. There's no evidence that you suffer from any relevant mental illness or other mental disorder. What you did is not the fault of a society that didn't accept you. It is not the fault of your parents. Whatever role Ashlyn Bell may have played in encouraging your interest in killing, she remained in the United States. She did not control or direct you. Even if the decision was motivated in part by a desire to please her, the decision to kill was entirely yours. In March 2021, as a present for Ashlyn, you decided to carry out, film, and live stream a grotesque act of cruelty towards a cat belonging to the Siebold family, who were neighbors. You planned to lure and trap this cat. You purchased a cat carrier and cat food and used them for that purpose. You set up lights and a camera on a tripod to record what you were doing. You suspended the cat by its neck using a ligature made from ribbon. But although you strangled it, you made sure that it remained alive for at least 3 minutes, during which it endured intense pain while you cut open and eviscerated it, before stabbing, dissecting, and removing its heart, which you kept as a memento. As the audio makes clear, the thing you enjoyed most was seeing the animal gasping and panicking before it died. After you had killed the cat, you put a scalpel into its eyes, skinned it, and decapitated it. You disposed of the body by putting it into a blender. In your evidence, you told the jury that you did all this to please Ashlyn Bell and derived no pleasure from it yourself. Apparently, seriously, you invited the jury to believe that you disapprove of people who are cruel to animals. The audio we all heard and the stills and video clips we saw of you smiling and laughing while posing with the animal's severed head leave no doubt whatsoever that you personally enjoyed what you were doing, as well as the pleasure that Ashlyn Bell derived from it. Once you had dissected the cat, you said, "Well, one day I want to learn how to do this to a person." The video was carefully put together and featured the track True Faith by New Order, played on a loop. The same track features in the Netflix documentary Don't F with Cats, about a man, Luca McNaughton, who kills cats and then goes on to kill people. You said in evidence that the choice of track had nothing to do with the documentary. I'm sure this was untrue and that the documentary played a part in cementing in your own mind the link between killing a cat and killing a person. At about 2:30 in the morning of July 25th, 2021, you took a picture of yourself wearing a combat jacket. You accepted in evidence that the aim was to look dark and menacing, a look that Ashlyn Bell would appreciate. You sent the photograph to her. I'm sure that when you left your home sometime after 3 o'clock in that morning, wearing the combat jacket with the hood up, a mask, and a backpack with a bottle of vodka in it, you were intending to look for a victim to kill. You later sent Ashlyn Bell the combat jacket you had worn on the night you murdered Jorge, having told her of its significance. When it was recovered, it had Ashlyn Bell's semen all over it. You went into central Oxford where you knew you would find people who were vulnerable after drinking. You walked around the center of town looking for someone suitable. You found Jorge sitting on the ground near the Radcliffe camera. He was lost. You could have helped him find his way home. Instead, you persuaded him to come with you in a direction that was not on his way home. You took him to Parsons Pleasure, where you had been many times before. You did so because you knew that it was a secluded spot, and at that time in the morning before sunrise, it would be a good place to kill him, unseen and undisturbed. Not only did you show no remorse for what you had done, you returned to the scene in the days after Jorge's body had been found to take photographs of the memorial left by his grieving family and the tree next to which you had killed him. You did so in order to burnish your credentials as a killer with Ashlyn Bell. You returned to the same spot more than a year later with another partner, to whom you had also boasted about killing Jorge. She took a photograph of you next to the same tree. This photograph was another memento of the murder you had committed. It reflected the pleasure you derived from your status as a murderer. The taking of these photographs and the use to which you put them showed a profound contempt for the suffering you had inflicted on Jorge's family. You were completely indifferent to the suffering. There was another indication of that contempt, although it does not affect my decision about the minimum term. This was the suggestion pursued on your behalf, and no doubt on your instructions, that Jorge might have committed suicide. The suggestion was bound to be profoundly distressing to Jorge's family and friends. If there had been any truth to it, they might as well ask themselves whether there was anything they could have done to save him. There was no truth to it whatsoever. All the evidence showed Jorge to be happy and looking forward to the future. There was no way his family or friends would have known what you had planned for him, and nothing they could have done to save him from you. I have to apply the provisions of Schedule 21 and the Sentencing Act 2020. I've considered carefully whether the seriousness of the offense is particularly high for the purpose of paragraph. And then he kind of goes on. It is these to have be sexual or sadistic to engage. Sexual or sadistic motivation is not enough, though such a motivation has a part, or maybe an important part, to play in the overall evaluation of the seriousness of the offense. I'm just skipping forward to 20. The authorities therefore require me to focus on the conduct involved in this case as distinct from the motivation for it. With that in mind, I bear in mind that there was no evidence of any sexual assault on Jorge, either while he was alive or on his body after death, nor is there any evidence of any sexual activity occurring at the scene or immediately after the killing. Although there is ample evidence that you derived sexual gratification from strangulation, and I'm sure that you did strangle Jorge, it is not enough to bring what you did within the category of sexual conduct, as that phrase has been interpreted by the Court of Appeal. I've borne carefully in mind all the categories. I've considered whether paragraph 4.1 applies. It would apply if you took a weapon to the scene intending to commit an offense, or have it available to use as a weapon and then used it in committing the murder. It is likely that you did take a weapon in your backpack. This may have been the garrote about which you bragged to Ashlyn Bell. It may have been a ligature, such as from the cord from your leopard print bathrobe, or it may have been something you could use to cause a blunt force injury. But I cannot be sure that you took any of these with you. The only thing I can be sure you brought with you was the vodka bottle. If, as appears likely, you used that to hit Jorge on the back of his head, I cannot be sure that you brought it intending to use it as a weapon. I cannot exclude that possibility that, whatever you had planned, you killed Jorge using only your hands, or things you found at the scene. This means that this case is one to which paragraph 5 applies. The starting point set by Parliament is therefore 15 years. It is, however, very much more serious than most cases in that category. There are 5 particular features which make it so. There is an interrelation between them, but they are in principle distinct, and each is important when assessing the seriousness of what you did. First, there was a very significant degree of premeditation. I am satisfied that the idea of killing a person had already occurred to you before you killed the cat in March 2021. That is why you said that you wanted to learn how to do this to a person. No doubt, with the encouragement of Ashlyn Bell, the fantasy of killing a person became a plan. That plan became settled in concrete over a period of 4 months between March and July 2021. When you left home in the early morning of July 25th, 2021, I'm sure that you intended to kill someone for some time. Second, the murder also involved substantial planning. The date and time were not coincidental. It was the first weekend after nightclubs were permitted to open following the lifting of the COVID restrictions. You knew that between 3 and 4:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning, you stood a good chance of finding someone vulnerable. That is why you picked that time to walk into Central Oxford. You took considerable care over what you would wear, taking a photograph of yourself in the jacket, which then became a macabre symbol of what you had done. And you had identified Parsons Pleasure in advance as a location where you could kill without being seen or disturbed. Third, although you knew nothing of your victim, your process for selecting him was quite deliberate. You can be seen on CCTV sizing up potential victims. When you happened upon Jorge, you selected him precisely because you thought he looked vulnerable, sitting as he was on the ground at 4 o'clock. In the morning, smaller and slighter than you, and likely to have had something to drink. You must have discovered after you engaged him in conversation that he had lost his wallet and couldn't find his way home. You selected and confirmed him as a possible victim because of his vulnerability. Fourth, you decided to kill someone because you believed Ashlyn Bell would find it sexually exciting, as in fact she did. Both men, by the way, both biological men. As you later said to another partner, you killed because my lover said it'd be hot. There was, therefore, a clear sexual motivation for the killing. You also believe that you would derive pleasure, whether sexual or not, from the experience of killing a person. I'm sure you did derive pleasure from killing Jorge, as you had from killing the cat. Fifth, you reveled in what you had done, returning at least twice to the scene to take photographs, and made conscious use of your status as a murderer to secure the admiration of others who shared your interest in harm, death, and killing. There's very little that can be said in mitigation, although I've borne in mind the fact that you were 23 years old at the time of the offense, relatively young. For the offense of causing unnecessary cruelty to a protected animal, Parliament recognized in the Animal Welfare Act of 2021 that the maximum sentence then available for this offense was inadequate and increased the maximum to 5 years imprisonment. This case demonstrates why the increase was necessary. If you had committed this offense after that act came into force, I would have imposed a substantial custodial sentence. Because you committed it in March 2021, the maximum sentence available to me for the animal cruelty offense is 6 months imprisonment. Because you pleaded guilty to that offense, you are entitled to a discount of one quarter. Criminal damage is an offense against property, so sentences available for that offense depend on the monetary value of the property. It may be justifiably thought that this is an inadequate way to mark what you did to an animal, which, Mr. Siebel's statement makes clear, was a beloved family pet. The maximum sentence available in the present circumstances is 3 months imprisonment. You are again entitled to a discount of one quarter. I've reflected on the criminality involved in the animal cruelty and criminal damage offenses in the minimum term for murder, bearing in mind that the short determinate sentences that could have been imposed would not have been served in full. For the reasons I've given, they make hardly any difference to the minimum term, though the detail of what you did to the cat has enabled me to gain a clearer impression for the reasons why you committed murder. Scarlett Blake, stand up. For the murder of Jorge Martin Carreño, I sentence you to imprisonment for life. The minimum term will be 24 years, less than 196 days spent in custody awaiting trial. The minimum term will therefore be 23 years and 169 days. There will be concurrent terms of 4 months for causing unnecessary suffering to a protected animal and 2 months for criminal damage. The statutory surcharge applies. So that was it. It just shows that, like, the information that they had, and is pretty remarkable stuff. So then I will go back to these files that dropped, right? I titled this Transition to Kill, Scarlett Blake, the Tavistock, and the WPATH files. And remember, just right there in that article, Scarlett Blake was saying that he dissociated, right? And we're going to get into that with these new files that dropped. Michael Schellenberger, I'm going to put a link to his thread, which I suggest you read. And I can read from the WPATH report as well, just like I'll probably read the intro. I think it's like, how many pages is it? 72 pages. But it goes into kind of pseudoscientific hormonal and surgical experiments on children. No respect for medical ethics. People have abandoned the Hippocratic Oath. It's basically just like the COVID shots. But anyway, I'm going to go through. I took screenshots of Schellenberger's Twitter thread or X thread. So I'm trying to give him full credit where credit is due. And that guy's an excellent journalist. I have no complaints. Like, he's a rarity. So this just dropped today. So this whole kind of situation with Scarlett Blake and this WPATH files are happening around the same time. It's really something else. Because this guy, Scarlett Blake, like I said, I've repeated at least twice, came out of the Tavistock, which is notorious for this gender unfirming care, is what I would call it. So Michael Schellenberger, WPATH files. Advocates of gender affirming care say it's evidence-based, but now newly released internal files from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH, prove that the practice of transgender medicine is neither scientific nor medical. American Medical Association, the Endocrine Society, the American Academy of Pediatrics, and thousands of doctors worldwide rely on WPATH. It is considered the leading global authority on gender medicine. And yet WPATH's internal files, which include written discussions and a video, reveal that its members know they are creating victims and not getting informed consent. Victims include a 10-year-old girl, a 13-year-old developmentally delayed adolescent, and individuals suffering from schizophrenia and other serious mental illnesses. The injuries described in the WPATH files include sterilization, loss of sexual function, liver tumors, and death. WPATH members indicate repeatedly that they know that many children and their parents don't understand the effects that puberty blockers, hormones, and surgeries will have on their bodies, right? So Scarlett Blake has had puberty blockers from, what would they say, 2015? Committed the crime in 2023, and yet they continue to perform and advocate for gender medicine. The WPATH files prove that gender medicine is comprised of unregulated and pseudoscientific experiments on children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults. It will go down as one of the worst medical scandals in history. So, pretty bold statement. And then there's a picture of the WPATH files, and I'll probably drop, and it's from today, March 5th, 2024. Leak files from WPATH reveal widespread medical malpractice on children and vulnerable adults at Global Transgender Healthcare Authority. Mia Hughes put it together. Published yesterday, excuse me. But they also have videos, so it's really something else. So the thread that Schellenberger put together was pretty interesting because you can see them talking on video. Like, these are people making decisions for kids. He says, part one, children and adolescents. We're explaining things to people who haven't even had biology in high school. I think the thing you have to remember about kids that we're often explaining these sorts of things to people who haven't even had biology in high school yet, says Dan Metzger, an endocrinologist. The 14-year-olds, you just, it's like talking about diabetic complications with a 14-year-old. They don't care. They're not going to die. They're going to live forever, right? So I think when we're doing informed consent, that's still a big lacuna. 14-year-old trans female who started transition since she was 4 wants to have gender-affirming surgery. What's your recommendations? I recently received questions from an assigned female at Perth whether blockers will stunt his growth. So they're asking questions. These are all from this thing. It's very difficult to ask that they wait until age 16. Waiting appears to increase the rate of suicide attempts. This was a 16-year-old patient found to have 2 liver masses. The likely offending agents were the hormones. So you can, the hormones can give you hepatic adenomas. Great. To what degree providers discuss actual rates of surgical complications? Many young patients experiencing gender distress do not appear to understand they may suffer serious consequences from long-term hormone use and genital surgery. Yeah, they don't understand the consequences of their actions. I feel the best time for surgery in the U.S. is the summer before their last year of high school. Despite the widespread and growing expression of concern within the WPATH files over the negative side effects of gender medicine, WPATH members urge that irreversible surgeries take place when adolescents are just 16 or 17 years old. They admit in some of these videos, like these videos are shocking, most of the kids are nowhere in any kind of brain space to really talk about it seriously. Right. Like, they acknowledge it. Many parents don't understand what will happen to their children. So the parents don't understand. The kids don't understand. They're asking the question, in a 13-year-old, developmentally delayed 13-year-old, what's the ethical approach? Like, it's incredible. Many gender medicine victims are filled with regret that they were sterilized. Right, you're sterilized. Nobody knows this more than the doctors who mistreated them. At times, their response to such regret appears callous. And this one doctor says, I follow a lot of kids into their mid-20s, and I'm like, oh, the dog is it doing for you, right? Like, as a stand-in for a child. And they're like, no, I just found this wonderful partner. Now we want kids. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me. So they acknowledge it. They're sterilizing them. Many gender medicine patients lose sexual function, including experiencing orgasm. As such, they are not only deprived of sexual pleasure, they're significantly undermining their ability to form long-lasting romantic relationships. It's clear from the files that even many people within gender medicine do not understand this. So crazy. And here we go. Mental illness. This is very important. It ties into the Scarlett Blake thing. Mental illness. A patient who became dangerous. On an unknown date, a San Francisco-based surgeon named Thomas Satterwhite posted an urgent new message to WPATH's internal message board. Quote, I had a patient who became dangerous, threatening to our care team post-op, he wrote, which ultimately ended in a restraining order, unquote. Satterwhite explained that this patient had undergone, had undiagnosed mood disorders that did not surface until post-op, after which she traveled around the country to find other surgeons to provide care. It's a chilling story and one that raises many questions about the ethics and legality of so-called gender-affirming medicine. At the top of that list is how did Satterwhite and his colleagues miss the fact this person they operated upon had a serious psychiatric condition? But Satterwhite was focused on a more prosaic question. What was the best medico-legal way he could warn other doctors and healthcare providers that his former patient was potentially dangerous? There he is. He's talking to him. These people are monsters. Our awful history of mistreating mental illness. Nations have struggled to care properly for people with mental illness and psychiatric disorders for centuries. After every past scandal, we pledged to do better next time, relying on more science than ideology. Let's see. Disordered eating, purposeful malnutrition, and high prevalence of eating disorders in these people. Not surprised. And then here we go. Something is off. I'm wondering if they might have schizoaffective disorder or schizophrenia. So some of these people have gender dysphoria plus schizophrenia. It's crazy. And then here we go. This is what Scarlett Blake is talking about, dissociative disorders. So it's clear tie-in to this WPATH stuff and what Michael Schellenberger is talking about. Quote, I was surprised to find that several of my clients met criteria for dissociative disorders, right? That's what happens under trauma or any heavy trauma, like maybe they're being traumatized or even the surgery's traumatized or the gender change is traumatized and they dissociate. I mean, and then they literally ask the question, can someone have schizophrenia and be ready for surgery? And schizophrenia is kind of, my understanding, is open to. Here's another one. I've noted a high incidence of dissociative disorder. So is it transition to kill? Is the transition of these people causing them to disassociate and giving them problems that make them dangerous and lethal? That's what this WPATH thing is all about. It ties right in. It's a direct tie into Tavistock and Scarlett Blake. Quote, I've operated on 3 dissociative identity disorder patients. All 3 did okay out to the 6-month mark. In the last 15 years, I had to regrettably decline writing only 1 letter because the person evaluated was in active psychosis and hallucinated during the assessment session. Wow, that's crazy. This is like freaking MKUltra. They had alters who were both male and female gender, and it was imperative to get all alters who would be affected by hormone replacement therapy to be aware and consent to the changes. So they are like literally doing surgery on people. You can't even write this. This is incredible. This had like 305,000 views since yesterday. Michael Schellenberger. Amazing. Ethics, part 3. I'm not aware of any other medical procedure that requires the approval of a therapist. Frequently, WPATH members push back against gatekeeping, including the requirement for sound mental health before undergoing a lifelong regime of drugs and surgery. Yeah, these people are on drugs for the rest of their life. So crazy. Quote, if an individual patient feels they made a mistake, be careful with that, not letting that change the way others receive care. So don't let the other ones know. Somebody regrets it. Don't tell anybody else that there's regrets out there. It's the patient's responsibility. Patients need to own and take active responsibility for medical decisions, especially those that have potentially permanent effects. It's incredible because just in the same document, they say, what are the ethics of doing this to a 13-year-old? Can you see the logical disconnect? Like they're literally saying it's your ownership, but you're not able to consent. Unbelievable. That's the way these guys think, man. It's crazy. And they even admit, like in some video, what has been currently happening is frankly not what we need to be doing ethically. Yeah, so at least they admit it. And then I go back to, these are from some of the statements between Blake in this dissociation. Like I think it's a valid question. Is the transition causing this dissociation? And these are kind of like texts. But you said to her, the last time I found someone this drunk, they died. And B-I-T-C-H, I kill someone as my lover thinks it's hot. She just didn't ask any questions. Blake said, no, she believes she is in a world that is made by aliens. And there are cameras everywhere and doing a Truman type thing. And I don't challenge her on that. She also believes she came from hell. I have similar false memories from that. We don't really challenge each other. We understand it's probably fantastical. And there is this man who became a woman. Yeah, and he's wearing a face mask. Like, he's able to think about it. They don't even mention his real name. It's like something Wang. Dane Wong Wang. There's Killing the Cat. What happened to Jorge in the last minute? This is his other dude, male associate in Colorado with the satanic stuff. Bruised my esophagus. And there was actually something shown in court where these guys, like Scarlett Blake, was choking out somebody else, like literally choking them with a garrote where they passed out and then came back to consciousness. Incredible, incredible stuff. Right. So then let's see. I can go back and maybe I'll just do the executive summary for this WPATH. But there's just so much. I mean, there's just so much new stuff. It's really incredible. So this is the WPATH file, pseudoscientific surgical and hormonal experiments on children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults, Mia Hughes. And this is done through, I think, one of Schellenberger's projects, Environmental Progress. I'll read the executive summary. The World Professional Association for Transgender Health, WPATH, enjoys the reputation of being the leading scientific and medical organization devoted to transgender healthcare. WPATH is globally recognized as being at the forefront of gender medicine. However, throughout this report, we will show that the opposite is true. Newly released files from WPATH's internal messaging forum, as well as a leaked internal panel discussion, demonstrate that the world-leading transgender healthcare group is neither scientific nor advocating for ethical medical care. These internal communications reveal that WPATH advocates for many arbitrary medical practices, including hormonal and surgical experimentation on minors and vulnerable adults. Its approach to medicine is consumer-driven and pseudoscientific, and its members appear to be engaged in political activism, not science. While there is a place in medicine for risky experiments, these can only be justified if there is a reliable, objective diagnosis. No other treatment options are available, and if the outcome for a patient or patient group is dire. However, contrary to WPATH's claims, gender medicine does not fall into this category. The psychiatric condition of gender dysphoria is not a fatal illness, and the best available studies show that in the case of minors, with watchful waiting and compassionate support, most will either grow out of it or learn to manage their distress in ways less detrimental to their health. As such, this report will prove that sex trait modification procedures on minors and people with mental health disorders, known as gender-affirming care, are unethical medical experiments. This experiment causes harm without justification, and its victims are some of society's most vulnerable people. Their injuries are painful and life-altering. WPATH-affiliated healthcare providers advocate for the destruction of healthy reproductive systems, the amputation of healthy breasts, and the surgical removal of healthy genitals as the first and only line of treatment for minors and mentally ill people with gender dysphoria, eschewing any attempt to reconcile the patient with his or her birth sex. This report will show that this is a violation of medical ethics and, as is revealed by its own internal communications, WPATH does not meet the standards of evidence-based medicine. It will further show that the ethical requirement to obtain informed consent is being violated, with members admitting that children and adolescents cannot comprehend the lifelong consequences of sex trait modification interventions, and in some cases, due to poor health literacy, neither can their parents. Right, it's the parents too. Given the extent of the medical malpractice WPATH endorses, our report will conclude by calling on the U.S. government to oversee a bipartisan national inquiry to investigate how activists with little respect for the Hippocratic Oath could have risen to such prominence as to set the standards of care for an entire field of medicine, leading to the medical abuse of minors and vulnerable adults. Yeah, if you're a lawyer, you could sue your whole life these bums who are permanently destroying these people, these kids. I mean, they said it in their own files. Don't, if we've had a mistake with one person, don't let the other person know. They literally had that in their own conversations. So crazy. I mean, the world is just a big fat mess. And we, I mean, I can probably go through some more. There's just so many new articles about this guy, Scarlet Blake, cat killer. You know, he's in, these are all fairly within the last week. So the transgender murderer, this is February 28th. Why are they identifying this person as a female? Targeting Caragna, there he is. That's a man. Meanwhile, award-winning journalist Louise Tickle, who has written for The Guardian for 20 years, has boycotted the newspaper after it initially failed to inform its readers that Blake was transgender in an article covering the case. Upon reading the piece, the writer said she was left unaware that Blake was a male killer because the word transgender did not appear in the piece. The Guardian later updated its news story to add further details and biological information. The BBC was also criticized after its correspondent Duncan Kennedy and news anchor Ben Brown referred to Blake as a woman without mention of her being a transgender. It's a he. It's a dude. You don't get to change your gender, sorry. So there's a lot of, this is the other guy, Ashlyn Bell. They have to look into these guys' social media and all their communications. Who else are they communicating with? You know, it's just incredible. Like, you could open up a whole thing. Stephen Glover, broadcasters are cowed, so cowed by trans activists, they dare not tell the truth. The Oxford killer is not a woman. That's from Daily Mail. I mean, it's really something else. This is transgender women criminals must be regarded as men if they have not legally changed their gender, says number 10 after cat killer Scarlet Blake Rowe. So that's really kind of, is this transgender, are they creating people who are perpetually angry or schizophrenic or dissociative? It may be an uncomfortable truth, but reports should say transgender murderer Scarlet Blake is a man, says Suella Braverman. Yeah, it's definitely a man. I think she's like an important, I forgot who Braverman is. I think she's with the government. So just tons of new articles. I read this. Indulging killers' trans delusions is dangerous. Yeah, it is. Cat torturing murderer Scarlet Blake isn't a woman. He's mentally ill. And then this goes back to the Tavistock. This guy was at the Tavistock Center. We don't even know his name. It's like Chu Shang Wang. That's his given name. Mother sues Tavistock Child Gender Clinic over treatments. His parents probably sue them as well. This is more on the Tavistock Center. The United Kingdom's only dedicated gender identity clinic opened 35 years ago. In recent years, those inside the clinic began to raise concerns. After a scathing independent review, the National Health Service decided to close the clinic. On Point, journalist Hannah Barnes, who wrote the book, tells us what happened. She wrote, "Time to Think, the Inside Story of the Collapse of Tavistock's Gender Service for Children." And then there's this huge transcript. I just don't have the inclination to do it. Puberty blockers, under 16 is unlikely to be able to give informed consent. Of course they're not. Duh. There's a lot. I mean, I could do a whole nother show on the Gender Identity Development Service. Maybe I will. Because, I mean, could you imagine, like, you talk about program to transition to kill. That's the theme. They're getting transitioned. They get angry. Their endocrine system's all whacked out. They're men. They're actually biological males. They're confused. These are the WPATH files. I mean, there's good writing here. Oxford Mail on it. Just tons of Oxford Mail articles. Wanted to kill her dad. Matthew Barber wants law change for recording defendant sex. Of course. Guy's a dude. That is not a woman. I mean, Ex-girlfriend of Oxford murder suspect was fearful for her life. I don't know what I'm supposed to effing do. She's probably going to try to kill me, right? I don't think I've ever been this scared. I guess if anyone actually ever finds this, it was her. Nobody finds this. I'm okay. I don't know. I probably won't be here anymore. At least I'm not in the UK. I can't do this anymore. I can't do it anymore. So I'm going to go. Bye. That was somebody, Brockman. I don't. That's another person. I don't know who this is. That was Blake's ex-girlfriend, Evie Brockman. So that's a different one. That's not Ashlyn Bell, the one from JK. I started this with JK Rowling. I'll probably end it with this. JK Rowling has her say on Scarlett Blake transgender debate. She's right. JK Rowling is right. That is a dude. As a man. Or just call him transgender. But don't call it a woman. It's not a woman. And this guy could open up the entire smiley face killing event. So anyway. I titled this one Transition to Kill, Scarlett Blake, the Tavistock, and the WPATH Files. Thank you for listening.